It is November 28th, 2011. I am having an interview with Jimmy Katakis over the telephone, who lives in Delray Beach, Florida, and the interviewer is Stephanie Manassas. Okay, Mr. Katakis, can you please tell me a little bit about where you were raised and about your family?
Okay, well, I came to this country in 1939. January the 2nd, 1939, I landed in New York. I came on the ship by the name, French ship liner, by the name of Normandy. And my father was in New York, living in New York at the time. And so I stayed with him. We stayed in New York about a month. After a month, he decided we'd go to California. Well, we stayed for almost a year. So after California, he decided, well, the times were not too good at that time, the depression and everything. And after that, we decided to go back to New York. So on the way back to New York by train, we stopped in Alabama, where I had two uncles. One was George Orphan, who lived in Montgomery, Alabama. And the other one was John Orphan, who lived in Alexander City, Alabama, where I stayed for almost 4 years. When I went in the Navy in 1943, and I stayed in the Navy for almost 3 years, 35 months to be exact. And after I was released from the Navy, I went back to Alexander City and lived there for the summer. And after that, I went to Montgomery. And that's about it.
So how old were you when you came over to New York from Greece?
I was 13.
13. So when you was with your father and you went from California to New York, you never actually returned to New York. You just stayed in Alabama.
Exactly.
Okay. And so how old were you when you enlisted in the military?
Well, I was drafted when I was 18.
Drafted when you were 18?
Right. In 1943.
What month in 1943?
I believe it was in April, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, did you go to high school in the United States?
Yes, I finished high school in Alexander City.
And what month and what year?
Oh, heck. Well, I liked two subjects, having complete things. And I went back to school when I came out of the Navy in 46 for the summer. I took those two subjects, and I got my diploma.
Okay, so summer of 46, you went back to get your diploma. So when you were drafted into the Navy, were you just finishing one of your years at high school?
Yes.
Okay. Please tell me about what happened when you... Well, first of all, let me ask, Mr. Katakis, how many brothers and sisters did you have?
Oh, I only had one sister. She lives in Greece now. She never came over.
So she stayed in Greece the whole time?
Yes.
And was your mother in New York?
No, only my father. In those days, the men used to marry, leave their wives over there, and come over here and work, and then after 2-3 years, they go back for a visit. And that's how it was done.
So was it a younger or older sister who stayed back in Greece?
Younger.
Younger, okay. How much younger than you?
Oh, see, I think she's about 6-7 years younger than I am.
Okay. How did you feel about being drafted, especially when you were originally from Greece?
Well, I was really tickled to death. And I'll tell you why. Because when I lived with my uncle, he was in the restaurant business. And I had to work after school in the summertime and on the weekends. So I never had time to go out and play football or anything like that with the other guys. So I was really happy to go in the Navy because I knew I was going to have a day off. When everybody was off, I would be off too.
When you were drafted, you said you were tickled to death. Tell me more about what happened when you were first drafted. Where did you go to boot camp and what happened?
They sent me from Birmingham. We went by train down to, I believe it was Pensacola. And from there, they took us to Shawfley Field. S-A-U-F-L-Y is the name of the air base, where we had two-week boot camp training. And after that, we were sent to another air base, which was located in Alabama by the name of Byron Field, B-A-R-I-N, Byron Field, which was about 2-3 miles south of Foley, Alabama.
Now, Shawfley Field was outside of Pensacola?
Right.
And then how long were you at Byron Field?
Well, the whole time that I was in the Navy, I spent it down there, except for 3 months that they had sent me up to Chicago to go to school for hydraulics specialist.
So tell me, what did you do at Byron Field, Alabama?
Well, I was working on planes, grease monkey or whatever you want to call it, things like that.
So did you do mechanics just of their vehicles or of other things as well?
Just mostly mechanics. And see, there was that air base was a base for training cadets, future officers, or airmen.
So you did mechanics on airplanes as well?
Yes.
And how much training did they give you?
Not really. It was on the job training at Byron.
And now tell me again, where was Byron in Alabama? Where was it?
It was about two, three miles south of Foley, F-O-L-E-Y, Foley, Alabama.
And where is Foley, Mr. Katahis?
Southern part of Alabama.
Okay. So you did mechanics on airplanes as well as on vehicles?
No vehicles. We didn't have any vehicles to play with.
Just on airplanes?
Just on airplanes.
So tell me, what was your day-to-day like in the military?
Well, you got up, they woke you up, it was reveille at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to breakfast, and from breakfast you went to the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
Where they kept the planes. And you stayed there all day, half the day, when it was time for lunch, and everybody marched off to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And had lunch. After lunch, you went back to work. And you were there till about 6 o'clock.
And how many mechanics did they have working in the hangar?
Oh, they had a bunch of them. I don't know exactly how many, but I guess there were about 25, 30 of us.
And how many airplanes would they have there?
Well, they had a lot of planes because they were spread all over 4 hangars.
Okay. And how many airplanes per hangar, approximately?
Well, they just brought the plane in, pulled by a tractor into the hangar when they needed something to be done on it.
And so when you were in the Navy, did you have a choice in terms of, did they ask if you wanted to be a mechanic, or that was just an assignment that they gave you?
No, that was the general idea. If you went to an air base, that's what you had to do.
Okay. How adept did you think you were as being a mechanic? How good did you think you were at being a mechanic?
Just fair.
Just fair? Okay. You did not consider doing that as your living when you got out of the Navy?
No.
Okay. So did you think at any point in time that you were going to be sent overseas?
Well, one time they wanted some of us to go overseas, and they asked for volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So there was another guy from Brooklyn, New York, by the name of Kaplan. I forget his first name. Last name was Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I were the only ones who stepped forward to go.
Mm-hmm.
But a few days later, we waited to leave, and the drop was canceled. So we didn't have to go.
And what year would this have been in?
Oh, I guess might have been around 44.
Okay. How did you feel when you found out you weren't being sent overseas?
Oh, I was disappointed because I wanted the glory and the ships and all that. Of course, I didn't know what the hell was going on out there.
Uh-huh.
But I still wanted to go.
And did you, when you were in the Navy, did you ever hear anything about the Nazis and their occupation of Greece?
Oh, yes. I used to hate Italians
mm-hmm.
because of Benito Mussolini, who attacked Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to hate all Italians.
Mm-hmm.
But after I got in the Navy, some of my best friends were Italian anyway.
Okay.
Even to this day, I have a friend, I don't know if he's still living or not, I've lost contact with him. He was a little older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
He was living in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
His name was John Liberatore.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's living or he's passed on, because I can't get in touch with him.
That must be frustrating.
Yes.
And so, when you say that some of your best friends were Italians, were they Italians that had come over from Italy, or their parents had come?
Italians who were born over here.
They were born in the States and their parents had come from Italy?
Exactly.
Okay. How much did you learn about the Nazi occupation in Greece during the war? Did you hear anything from any of your relatives by letter?
Yes, it was very bad.
Tell me more.
Well, the Germans were really savages, to put it mildly. If the communist guerrillas in the mountains killed one German, then the whole town was burned down. And they were really bad. Starvation was going on like nobody's business. I remember reading one time that Mussolini had sent some milk to Athens to feed the starving children.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it got there, the Germans picked it up and sent it to Germany.
So it was a pretty bad situation.
Very bad situation.
Did you receive any letters from your mother and sister during this time?
No, there was no contact.
Because it was impossible for them to write, or because they were not able to write?
For them to send, we had no communication with them.
So you must have had quite a bit of fear about the safety of your mom and your sister.
Well, luckily they lived in a small island, and so there were a few Italians there, but they were not as bad as the Germans. They didn't bother you if you didn't bother them.
So they were living in Erikusa at the time or in Corfu?
No, they were living in Erikusa.
Okay, so because they were living in Erikusa, which is a small island off of Corfu, did you have a pretty high confidence level that they were probably okay?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
And this whole time that you were in the military, your father was living in New York?
Right.
Did your father and you have any communications via letters about what was going on in Greece?
Oh, none whatsoever, except what he read in the Greek newspaper.
Okay. And would he tell you that via letters, what was going on, or would he send you the newsletter, the newspapers?
No, really, not really.
Tell tell me, Mr. Katakis, what was some of your most memorable experiences in the Navy?
Well, the most memorable was the fact that we had a lot of accidents, airplane accidents at the base, and a lot of people were killed. In fact, the name of the base was known as Bloody Baron because we had so many airplane accidents.
And how did the accidents happen?
Well, when you're flying up there, something would happen to the plane and it would come down.
Mm-hmm.
And you were with it. You didn't have a chance to bail out.
Mm-hmm. Some of the airplanes actually crashed near Barron Field?
We had at least once or twice a week crash.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
Yes, bad. Really bad. That's the reason it was known as Bloody Barron.
And why? Did you have more accidents than other airfields?
I don't think so. We had about seven airfields surrounding the area of Pensacola.
Was there something about the weather that made it more difficult to fly in that area?
No, I mean, it was better because the weather down there was much better than it was up north or west or east.
But what was it about do you think that there was a lot of pilot mistakes or it was problems with it?
Probably some pilot mistakes, mechanical mistakes. You never know.
And how often do the airplanes come down empty with the pilots having bailed out?
Never.
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 Oh, how sad.
Yes.
So that must have been awfully traumatic for all of you.
Oh, it was. It was.
And when you thought that you would be sent overseas, did you think that you would then be a mechanic on a base somewhere in Europe?
I would be a mechanic on an airplane carrier.
On an airplane carrier.
Yes.
And so how much did you hear about what was going on with the Jews in Germany? Did you hear anything while you were in Alabama?
No, not. Well, all of that came after the war.
Okay.
During the war, nobody knew anything of what the hell was going on in Germany. You know, there were rumors that there were concentration camps and all that, but there was no actual testimony to that effect.
And did you, when there were rumors of the concentration camps, did you know that they were primarily for Jews, or was it unclear as to who they were for?
Most of them were for Jews, but there were others too. There were Russians, there were Greeks, there were different nationalities,
mm-hmm.
Gypsies.
And during the war, did you know that the concentration camps were primarily for Jews, or was it unclear who they were for?
Well, mostly for Jews.
And during the war, you knew this?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about your 3 months of training up north.
Yes. Well, I really went up there because I liked the liberty, the good times with the city of Chicago. Provided for us. They had the mayor of Chicago had condemned some buildings and made them into servicemen centers. They were different than the USOs. There you could go in, you could eat, you could sleep, you could do and be entertained. And it didn't cost you anything.
And this was in Chicago?
That was in Chicago, yeah. And the people of Chicago were real nice to servicemen.
Were they?
Oh, yes.
How often were you able to go out in Chicago?
Well, we went out every weekend.
Did you?
Yes.
And you had Saturday and Sundays off from work?
Right.
Now, tell me more about your training in Chicago.
Well, I went to a hydraulic school, airplane hydraulics. Of course, I didn't learn too much because, like I said, I wasn't there to learn anything. I was there for the good time, for the excuse to be in Chicago.
Okay, Chicago's a lovely city, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. Especially along the Michigan Avenue. That's where we stayed
uh-huh.
at the time.
It's beautiful there along the lake, isn't it?
Yes.
So do you remember what months you were sent up to Chicago?
Well, it was in the winter time, but I don't remember the month.
Do you think it was in 1944?
I believe it was in 1944, yes.
Okay. And then they were teaching you more about hydraulics with airplanes.
Right.
Did you meet any new friends up in Chicago?
Well, I met some friends, but I've forgotten their names now.
Okay.
You know, they were from all over. Some other bases, too, besides Pensacola.
And so these condemned buildings that were made into places where you could go out and spend the night, were there a lot of civilians that would go there and on the weekends?
A lot of civilian ladies would come in and entertain us, you know, talk to us and everything. They were really nice.
Were they?
Oh, yes.
And how did you feel about the winter in Chicago?
Well, it was kind of rough. A lot of snow, mm-hmm. a lot of wind, and very cold.
Mm-hmm.
But it was okay. I was young then, so the cold did bother me.
Mm-hmm. And then tell me more about your social life when you went back to Alabama or when you were in Alabama. What was your social life like there?
Oh, not really much, because I went to work. And I worked for a man for about 3.5 years. That was 7 days a week, 10, 11 hours a day. And I didn't have any time off either.
So you had not one day off a week?
No, not even one day a week.
Oh, my gosh. So this continued even after the war was over? You still worked
well,
that?
The war was over then, yes.
You still had that schedule?
Yes.
Tell me, do you remember the day that you found out that Roosevelt died?
That day, I was, I believe I was in Chicago.
Okay.
When Roosevelt died.
And what were your thoughts that day?
Well, I liked Roosevelt. He was a good man. I used to like him, to listen to him on the radio. We didn't have television then. And what he called him? Fireside chats.
Mm-hmm.
And he was I thought he was a wonderful man.
Did you get to listen to some of his fireside chats, or were you typically working?
Well, I used to listen to him. Well, I was in the Navy. When he died, I was still in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember when you heard the news that Hitler was dead?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember that. But I remember reading all about him.
Okay.
How he and his, he married the woman he was going with the last moment. And then they committed suicide.
So you remember reading about this?
Yes.
And then what did you, when the war in Europe ended in 1945, did you, were you able to have any contact with your family in Greece at all?
Oh, yes. After the war was over, we could write back and forth, yes.
And could you write back and forth immediately after it was over in Europe, but still going on in the Pacific?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about the first letters that you received from your mother and your sister.
I don't remember. I remember writing to them, but I don't remember receiving a reply.
I can imagine that you must have felt a lot of joy to be able to communicate with them.
Yes.
And then do you remember where you were when you heard about the bombs in Japan?
I don't remember where I was at that time.
What did you think about the bombing in Japan?
Well, I think Truman did the right thing. Because it would have cost at least 2 million men, American men, dying to take Japan. just like I don't believe about the damn war in Iraq. Bush had no business over there. They did it only for money, for the oil in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mr. Cheney who committed that crime. And we had 5,000, over 5,000 American boys dying over there. Besides, the ones that came back were crippled for life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's that.
So you were very opposed to the war in Iraq?
Yes, ma'am, I was. I was against the war in Vietnam also, because we had no business going over there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But of course we had to support our troops.
Mm-hmm. And then once the war was completely over in August of 1945, after the bombs were dropped, did your day-to-day schedule still stay the same?
About the same.
And when did you get out of the war?
In 1946.
Do you remember what month?
I think it was May. I'm pretty damn sure it was May. May 1946.
And so you said your schedule did not change. You were still working 7 days a week.
Right.
But in 1945, from August, when the Japanese surrendered, until 1946, when you were released from the Navy, do you remember if there was still an airplane crash almost every week at Barron Field?
More or less, yes, because the training continued on to the end.
Did you ever think about being a pilot?
No.
No interest?
No.
Can you tell me any more experiences during the war when you were at Barron Airfield?
Not really, except one night I was on guard duty where we kept the airplanes, and I was smoking a cigarette. And about that time, the security watch officer came up on me, you know, checking on the guards, and he caught me. And I'll never forget his name. His last name was, he was an officer, and his last name was Steinberger.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't turn me in. That's the reason I remember him.
Because you weren't supposed to be smoking.
I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to be on duty, not close to a plane with a lit cigarette. Because there was danger of an explosion, you know.
Yep.
From the gasoline fumes.
So you must have been very relieved that nothing happened.
Yeah, and I still remember the lieutenant's name. He was a Steinberger.
So the gentleman that did not get you in trouble regarding the smoking, did you have a good relationship with him before that, and that's why he didn't do anything, or was he just being nice that day?
He was a nice human being.
Okay. Were there any other memorable people that you remember from your military service?
Well, I remember the commander of the base, at one time was a colonel, the Marine colonel, who was the commander of the base, and his name was Campbell, and he was a wonderful man. I remember when we had a pass an inspection, he came by with a smile, you know. Whereas when we had another guy by the name of DeWolf, who was a really mean-looking son of a gun, whenever we had an inspection, he looked us all the way from the head to the toes. And we were really afraid of him. But then again, next year or year after, we had this Marine colonel, by the name of Campbell, who was a really fine gentleman in every meaning of the word. He was really nice, and everybody would do anything for him. Whereas for DeWolf, we'd probably push him in the water.
Okay. What about any memorable comrades, any of your fellow people in the military that you remember really well?
Well, I remember John Liberto. He was a good friend of mine. He and I went out on liberty, you know, into town. He didn't drink or smoke, but he liked to go out with women.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a really nice guy, easy going, not cursing or anything. And after the war, he moved back to Connecticut, where he was working as a mechanic in aircraft factory, making engines. He worked there for many years. In fact, I think he retired from there.
Now, was he the only person that you kept in contact with after the war?
Exactly.
So you two were very good friends.
We were good friends. I had him one time when I was going in New York. I went to his stay with him for 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
He was married then, had a little girl. And later years, when he was going through vacation to Florida from Connecticut, he stopped by my house in Montgomery, Alabama. And we had dinner there and everything. And we kept in touch all through the years.
When is the last time that you spoke to him?
Well, I think it was a couple of years ago.
When you got out of the military in 1946, how did you feel about leaving the military?
Well, I really like to stay. But by the same token, I would like to have a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wife and kids and everything. And that's the reason I left the military, because I knew being in the military, it's kind of hard on the family, on the wife and the kids. So that's the reason I left the military.
Otherwise,
I would have stayed.
You would have stayed otherwise.
Yes.
And then you said, now, was it in the summer of 1946 that you went back to finish your high school diploma?
Yes.
How was that going back to school when you were much older than the other students?
Well, it felt sort of funny, but it didn't bother me.
And then what happened when you graduated from, did you graduate from high school in Alexander City, Alabama?
Yes.
What happened after you graduated from high school?
After I graduated from school, let's see. Well, right after that, I took a trip to Greece.
Okay.
And I was gone. I think we left here about September. I think it was September. September it was, yes. And I stayed 6 months till the following year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back.
So you went back to Greece with your father?
No, by myself.
By yourself?
Well, with friends anyway.
Okay. And then your father went back to Greece in 1946?
Yes, right after me, maybe a month or two later, exactly.
And then your father stayed there for the rest of his life?
That's it.
So tell me, how was it seeing your mother and your sister?
How were they?
How was it?
Well, it was nice to, you know. I really don't know how it felt now.
Did your sister think about coming to the United States at that time?
No, she was just, she was about 15, 16 years old at the time.
Oh, so she was very young.
Yes.
Okay. And then how did you meet your wife? How did you meet your wife?
Well, I met her when, I saw her when I was over there. But of course, I didn't have the money to marry or bring a girl over here. So when I came back, she had an uncle in Montgomery. And I went to him and I told him that I liked his niece. And I would like to marry her.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent the money and brought her over.
Wow. And so, when did she come over to the United States?
I think it was in 1947.
And then when did you get married?
Yeah, we married the first part of 1948.
What did you do for a career when you got back to the United States?
I worked in a restaurant.
And did you do that for the rest of your life?
More or less, yes.
How do you feel that World War II changed how you viewed the world? How did it affect your life?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm happy that I'm here. I'm happy that I came over to begin with, because I love this country. There's not another country in the world that's like it.
So you're very happy here in the States.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything else about World War II that you'd like to share with me?
No, not really.
Thank you very much, Mr. Katakis.
Yes, Ms. Manessis.